I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The only way you can take ESPN Rochester with you is the Radio.com app. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Back in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia, basking in the glory of a Bills victory where the offense, not the defense, carried the team. The Bills taking care of the Dolphins on the road and looking ahead now to a game against the Rams on Sunday. We bring in Nate Geary from the Buffalo Bills Radio Network, our radio.com sports sister station WGR in Buffalo. How are you, brother?
I'm feeling fresh. I got to bed at a decent hour yesterday, and all with knowing that I was going to make my appearance 325 on this program. So I got some good night's sleep just for you guys.
Well, you get a good night's sleep knowing the Buffalo Bills. I mean, can we say this? Like, yeah, we can put the rest now. The Josh Allen, is he the guy or is he not the guy? I mean, Nate, he's the guy.
Yeah, I think so. I'll tell you this. The only thing that I've experienced more powerful than serotonin is 400-yard games. It's the weirdest thing. I think the foundation is become more secure and more it seems at this point that the ones still, you know, looking at the cracks in the foundation are finding fewer and fewer examples, right? I always think, and I think all of us should likely get to a place where we recognize and accept the fact that there's going to be one or two throws a game that are, you know, head scratchers. It's just like even the best golfers have a moment where they look like a 30 handicap and they hit one OB on a duck hook left. Like, that's always going to kind of be an Allen's game. And I think for the most part, what we're seeing is a big shift in the volume of those plays versus game changing plays. And I mean, right now, Josh Allen through two games is 11 of 12 on balls traveling 20 or more yards. Mm. He was 11 of 56 last year. Mm. So again, I want to caution everybody that we're talking about a small sample size, but it is an incredibly impressive sample size to indicate that the ceiling we all assumed or hoped or thought, or some of us evaluated, we thought could be there, is clearly there. Now my question is, have we seen the ceiling? And if we have, I think this is something we can work with. I guess what I'm holding out like a sliver of hope is there another step in there? Because if there is, then we're talking about a quarterback that's going to be demanding $35 to $40 million on the market in a year from now.
Oh. Yeah, Nate, which I guess is a good problem to have when you haven't had a franchise quarterback for as long as the Bills have. I'm curious about those deep completions that you referenced, because I know a lot of them are coming on a simple route that I think a lot of teams could probably figure out if they really wanted to. It's the deep cross. I mean, what are you seeing when you see that deep cross route being run by either Beasley or Brown or Diggs or whoever? It seems like that's the pass that Allen has the best amount of success with. He's made some other nice passes, no question, and his receivers have bailed him out as well. They've made some phenomenal catches as well. But that deep cross specifically, is that the Bills' offense bread and butter when it comes to the long passing game?
Well, I think two things. The first thing is, I think that what defensive coordinators saw from Josh Allen yesterday against man coverage is likely going to give people and defensive coordinators nightmares. The reason being is we saw in week one, Josh Allen look overly confident in his ability to diagnose, find the holes and understand what the defense was trying to do in a variety of zone looks. I mean, that's Greg Williams' MO. He's going to throw a lot of cover two, a lot of Tampa two, and a lot of quarters looks at teams. And he did that against Josh Allen to no avail. This week was the test for me because obviously they were going to face a far better secondary. Obviously, it was disappointing from a competitive balance standpoint to see Byron Jones go down in the first series and not able to return to the game. I was really looking forward to the Xavien Howard-Byron Jones 1-2 combination in the defensive backfield for the Dolphins, for the Bills to really test out what they'd be able to do against man coverage. But what you saw yesterday was the ability for an offense to not only beat but thrive against man and press looks, which is really an important development for Josh Allen's game because it was the one area that guys like Bill Belichick that, you know, even when you saw what the Ravens did to the Bills last year to really stifle the offense. And, I mean, you've got a couple of significantly just very good defenses on the docket this year, like Pittsburgh, that is going to challenge you, that has the flexibility to run zone and press man looks against you. And I guess where I'm getting to is the impressive thing was seeing his ability to sort of be able to loft in balls behind defenders. Crossing routes are historically considered anticipatory in nature, meaning for them to work properly, you have to have a level of anticipation throwing those balls, understanding you're throwing it to where a guy is. And on a number of occasions, we saw Josh really kind of pull out the entire repertoire of what I would call level one, two, or three throws, the trajectory, right? A level one is your basic rope. And Josh was able to throw with accuracy on that rope play. The level two trajectory, which is more of a, it's got a little bit of loft on it, but still, you know, it's not a deep ball. It's still more of a frozen rope, to speak. And then you've got the level three ball, which is, you know, he's putting loft on the ball. He showed and flashed all three throws on the same type of route. When you're a defensive coordinator and your options are, A, we need to run zone, and this kid has already proven the ability to be able to pick one apart and identify, or B, run man coverage, have our defensive backs turn their back to him so that he could either A, beat you as a runner, or B, straight up throw dimes to beat your primary defenders. Well, you're running out of ways as a defensive coordinator to try to beat Josh Allen. And I think that is, if you're a Bills fan, if you're a fan of the game, the really fun thing that we're watching Josh Allen do is process the game at a really impressive rate for a guy who's only in his third season. Frankly, guys, you know, we've talked a lot over the last 24 hours, all right, maybe 12 hours, but really dating back to even last Sunday, the focus has been on Josh Allen, but I almost want to turn the focus a little bit to Brian Daboll and what he's been able to do to unleash Josh Allen. Josh Allen's the third highest volume passer of play action passes through 2 weeks. I don't think there's any doubt that the play action is fully leading to these looks from Josh Allen and ultimately the success as well.
I think it's interesting too, Nate, that they're running more four receiver sets than we've ever seen them before. And my question is about Diggs. How can Minnesota let this guy go? I don't care what he was doing behind the scenes. I mean, a receiver like this changing teams, you normally don't see. Like somebody like Odell Beckham Jr. had nice stats in New York, and it doesn't translate to a different offense. Are you at all surprised at the fact that Diggs not only, you know, came in as doing this, he's doing this so quickly?
Yeah, you know, and listen, there are... The four wide receiver sets to me is a nice additional wrinkle. What I think I'm most excited about, though, is obviously the addition of Gabriel Davis to me into this offense adds an element of playmaking ability and a red zone threat that they had with Duke Williams, but I think they're already through two games, they're noticing and I think understanding the level of trust they can have in Gabe Davis, which is a really is a point I wanted to make sure we laid out of why we're seeing so many four wide receiver sets. Well, they have four competent. Frankly, they've got five or six competent receivers they can put out on the field and trust to do their job. Or as every player on this Bills roster now essentially says, you know, do their 111th, right? But to your point about Stephon Diggs, I'm not sure. And, you know, there was a lot of gaslighting and, you know, theory making about, well, you know, there's no way that Stephon Diggs is going to go to Buffalo and have even near the success that he had in Minnesota. You know, Josh Allen isn't half the quarterback that Kirk Cousins is. And what we're finding is the one common denominator between Kirk Cousins' elevated play over the last several years and Josh Allen's recent elevated play is Stephon Diggs. We can talk all day, and I'd be happy to talk all day about Kirk Cousins' deep ball accuracy when targeting Stephon Diggs early on the last three years in Minnesota, or 2 years, and then even before that with Case Keenum. I think looking back and now knowing what I know about what he's doing for Josh Allen's deep ball game, is it's less about the accuracy and ball placement with him. It's more about a willingness and ability to give him a chance because he'll make a play when given the opportunity. And that play that we keep seeing replays of, that people where he's catching the ball in between two defenders over the top of them falling. And before that, the absolutely undressing he did to his primary defender who was trying to run press against him. Yeah. I mean, guys, what we're watching is the best receiver, I think, to maybe ever lace it up here in Buffalo. And I understand what I'm saying in saying that. I understand the people that have laced it up in this organization before I was born and early, you know, 25, 30 years ago, when you're talking about Andre Reed and James Lofton, some of the Eric Mold, some of the names that we've seen come through here. I think by the time, if the volume persists, which my main concern when trading for him in the first place was, can you give him the volume that will make this worthwhile? And through two games, they're giving everyone volume. I mean, if they're going to average 35 attempts a game, guys, right now I think they're averaging just north of 40. I mean, there's plenty of mouths to feed. And right now, my buddy Greg Thompson at Cover One yesterday tweeted out after the game, the Bills have three receivers all on pace through 2 weeks to get 1,000 yards.
Yeah.
It's absolutely bonkers.
It's great. And I think a safe thing to say would be that Stephon Diggs is the best Buffalo Bills receiver we've seen since Andre Reed. I think that's probably the safest way to say it.
I think I'm comfortable saying that, and I have confidence that we're going to be talking about him as the best receiver here.
No,
I mean, I think he's 26.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the crazy thing to me. The Bills didn't trade for a 32-year-old A.J. Green. They didn't, you know, like, those are things they could have done. They traded for a guy who is the top five player at his position in his prime with a chip on his shoulder. They're really, you talk about like, you know, factors into a guy's success. Well, the biggest factor to me is the absolute chip that had been on his shoulder, knowing that his offense, and I talked about this with you guys on the show, was that I didn't think it was a situation between Kirk Cousins and Stephon Diggs. I think it was a volume situation. I think it were concerns to Stephon Diggs that his playmaking ability was not being utilized enough or with enough volume in the offense. And clearly he was right.
Nate, we got to talk about Dawson Knox, the concussion, the early exit. But before that, not a great day for Dawson Knox. And if there's one piece of this offense, it looks like it's not quite pulling its weight. It's what you're getting out of the production at the tight end position.
Yeah, you know, there's no doubt about it. I think they're above average play at the tight end position. And how about this? Maybe just consistent average play from the tight end position, from being a truly undefendable threat offensively. Do I think Dawson Knox has the capability? I do. I also think that he would benefit greatly with a 1-2 punch type situation. It's, you know, painfully clear that Tyler Croft is not the player Brandon Bean thought they were getting for whatever they ended up signing him for. I think that has become evident. I think it was evident last year, and I think through two games, their almost refusal to use him probably speaks to that even more. And frankly, I've liked what I've seen from Reggie Gilliam, who is a fullback in college, more than what I've seen from Croft in a year and two games now. So, you know, Knox needs to be able to be in positions where the coaching staff can trust him, because trust is the one thing this coaching staff values just about as much as availability. And the one concern coming into his career, Dawson Knox, was his availability. He's done a nice job of curbing some of those concerns around being available, not being injury prone, and being a guy that you can count on to play. Now they're having issues with when the ball is in his hand, or if it can even get there, is he a guy that you can trust to make the play? And almost every time he gets his hands on the ball, he's either fumbling or dropping passes. And that is something that needs to change, and needs to change quickly, because this is a coaching staff that you can absolutely get in the doghouse in. And it can be tough to dig your way out.
Nate Geary, you hear him on WGR, you hear him on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network, our guest here in the Sports Bar, 95.7 ESPN. So, Nate, let's look ahead here. The Rams, they're coming up. And last year, the Bills started out 2-0, and then you got the Bengals. This isn't the Bengals coming in. This is an offense that has Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp and Tyler Higbee. From what you saw yesterday, the Bills' defense in Miami, what's your level of concern for Buffalo defensively heading into this game?
I am concerned if you don't have one or both of Tremaine Edmonds and Matt Milano, and I put that in that exact hierarchy because I think none of us will fully appreciate the loss that Tremaine Edmonds was yesterday in that defensive performance. I had a tremendous caller call into the overtime show yesterday, and really I thought said it perfectly, right? And it was, he basically said that, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick and Chan Gailey and that Dolphins offense were able to attempt things you wouldn't even think about doing if Tremaine Edmonds is in the lineup. There were throws over the middle in that what I call the honey hole. I know a lot of people call the cover two outside sideline throws is like honey hole throws. I think I view it, and I sort of coin the middle of the field where like a Tampa 2 linebacker or even just a linebacker's zone in the middle of that field would be as the honey hole. And that is the area of the field that the Bills were absolutely dissected last week. I give Tyrell Dotson a ton of credit. He is not a middle linebacker. He's not a Mike linebacker in the NFL. Now, you could convince me after watching that performance, if I could see it over a longer stretch, you could convince me that Tyrell Dotson is a long-term replacement for Matt Milano, and I might buy into that. But in terms of what they missed last week, they are going to need Tremaine Edmonds back in the lineup this week. They need both guys, but they need Edmonds back in the lineup against this team because this is a team that is right now running play action even more than the Bills. 48% of Jared Goff's dropbacks right now are play action passes. So McVay is back to sort of dealing. This is an offense that went from a lot of 10 personnel to now they're running multiple sets with two and three tight ends. So this is not your dad's Sean McVay run Rams offense. This is a new look, a recreated Sean McVay offense. Listen, Sean McVay, for give him credit. I mean, there was a lot of negativity around that offense last year because it appeared that teams had figured him out. Defensive coordinators had figured out his offense. He has pivoted into a far more diverse and tight end heavy offense. And so far, we're seeing some gains back on that investment. But in my opinion, I'm not super impressed with Jared Goff. I like him. I think he's kind of your average run-of-the-mill guy in the league. He can get hot, and that offense can get hot. I like their chances. Listen, not many teams get to start the season with two preseason games. In fact, nobody but the Bills got to start the 2020 NFL season by playing likely two teams that will be picking in the top 12 come next April. So two easy tests to sort of get your feet wet. Now they face their next four opponents combined are 7-0. So we're going to get to know about this team real soon.
Nate, real quick, Levi Wallace. I'm worried about Levi. I like Levi as a player. I think that there's something there with him, but he was picked on yesterday. The Dolphins found a way to just kind of continuously go his way. Is that a blueprint for other teams here in the future? Is Levi Wallace going to have to step up his game here in the coming weeks with Josh Norman still being out?
I do think it is a blueprint, and I do think that more so than a lot of other quarterbacks and offensive coordinator quarterback combinations, they do together a very good job diagnosing and taking advantages of weaknesses in a defense. It's why you saw them go after AJ Klein with Mike Gesicki a ton in that game. I'm worried a little bit about Levi Wallace, and you know, frankly, they don't have the flexibility they did a year ago to say, all right, well, Levi, you know, you're not playing hot. Let's see what Kevin Johnson's got. Oh, Levi, you don't play man press too well. Well, we're going to throw Kevin Johnson in those situations. They don't have that flexibility right now. And I think that is likely why the microscope is on Levi Wallace. I also think that for the most part that, again, we saw a lot of inward-facing routes, slant routes that were absolutely torching him. I don't think that happens when you have your full repertoire of linebackers in that game. I don't think you're designing an offense to go inside and have it a passing game that exists between the hashes when Matt Milano and Tremaine Edmonds are in the lineup.
Nate Geary, you hear him on the Buffalo Bills postgame show. Tell everybody about the show on Saturday. You want more Bills talk on a Saturday, Nate Geary, they can punch it up on the Radio.com app.
Radio.com app, 11 to 2 every Saturday, Sports Talk Saturday. I've got national guests. Last week I had... I had an NFL Network, two ESPN guests. So yeah, we kind of get the nice national perspective while also staying Bills and Sabres themed the entire time. So yeah, tune in 11 to 2 every Saturday on WGR 550 and of course the Radio.com app.
All right, Nate, enjoy your week. Good luck on Sunday, and we'll look forward to talking to you again real soon, buddy.
Appreciate it, gents. And yeah, same here. And looking forward to this Rams game. It should be really exciting. Looking forward to hashing things up with you guys afterwards.
Absolutely. You got it, Nate. And that's going to be the test, yeah. Right? I mean, like that, Nate put it pretty bluntly. Like, not every team in the NFL had the luxury of playing two preseason games. And that's kind of what you could look at these two opponents as. They're going to be picking in the top half of the draft. I don't see Miami or the Jets as being a couple of teams that are going to be fighting for postseason berths here later on.
Yeah, well, this should be, it'll feel good today and tomorrow, and then when the Bills get back to work on Wednesday, let's look at the film here. Oh, yeah, this Rams offense is really good. They beat Dallas. They smoked Philadelphia. I can't wait for this game. We still got to wait, what, 6 more days?
Yeah. No, it's going to be a good test. And you know, McVay's offense has been altered. I mean, like last season, I think Nate pointed it out. I mean, like a lot of teams started to figure it out, and he didn't quite adjust enough to keep defenses on their heels. You know, what he's done so far this year with the play action, it's working.
It's not like the Rams were a bad team last year. There was only one team that finished above 500 last year that missed the playoffs. Would have been the Rams. Yeah. So the Rams, you know, under this year's format, they would have been a playoff team.
Well, I'll tell you, Gene, I think the NFC West, and I keep saying it over and over again, I think that division in this year's NFL is the best division in football. I think that that division has the potential to send the entire division to the postseason. I think they can feast. Each team can feast off of lesser opponents in the AFC East, you know, the Dolphins, the Jets. I mean, consider that, you know.
Those should be two wins they all easy. Should pick up here. So that's where things could pivot for the Buffalo Bills. NFC games are not as important, of course, when it comes to tiebreakers and such. But when you're looking just to pile up wins and stay ahead of the Patriots. All right. So the Patriots, they're one game back here. But the Patriots did not play the Jets yesterday. They played the Seahawks.
Yeah, and the Patriots, in a losing effort, move the ball pretty efficiently. They looked good. Cam Newton looks good. You know, let's not throw dirt on their grave just yet, because that's still the team you have to beat if you're in the New England, if you're the Buffalo Bills. The New England Patriots, while they might not be in first place, that's still the team that you're going to be chasing. You're still going to have to beat the New England Patriots if you want to get that credibility.
Got the thoughts coming up. I'll drink to that. I'm going to tell you which coach yesterday absolutely blew it. And if you watch this game, you know exactly which game I'm going to be talking about. And is there a team right now that is more snake bit than the Atlanta Falcons? They should just start over there. I mean, my gosh, yesterday. Well, I'll try to make some sense of what happened in Dallas yesterday.
Let's do a little bit of a deeper schedule dive. And I want to talk a little bit more about those opponents in the NFC West that are on the Buffalo Bills schedule. And it's the main reason why I made my preseason prediction the way I did, Gina. We'll get into that more next. I'll drink to that in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
ESPN Rochester knows there's more to life than sports. Kidding. College basketball and football.
Put it away for these LSU Tigers.
The NBA.
Down to Davis. Feeds LeBron and traffic glides to the rim for two.
Major League Baseball.
And this one will find the Crawford boxes for a home run. And all of a sudden, it's a one-run game.
Your proud home of the Buffalo Bills.
Allen in the gun. Steps away from pressure again. Fires it now on the run. Caught by Beasley at the 10. Headed into the end zone. Touchdown. Touchdown, Buffalo.
Buffalo Sabres. Rochester Americans.
Although he's there to jam it in, and his third goal of the night as the Amherst take a 3-2 lead.
More to life than sports? Not here. Rochester's most listened to sports station. AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader. ESPN Rochester.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.